Good morning, Richard Binney here from the Shields Gazette, and I'm joined by Joe Bookie Book. Morning, Bookie, how are you doing? You okay?
Morning, I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. I'm standing in for Dom this morning, and Dom and Miles are having a well-earned post-season, pre-season break ahead of the new campaign after what has been a rollercoaster for riders in James's Park. So it's me and Bucky this morning. We're going to chat through a few things at Newcastle United and James's Park. Look ahead to the summer, brief look ahead to next season as well. And we'll start with the news that Newcastle have a new sporting director. Newcastle announcing Dan Ashworth will become the club's new sporting director. Having confirmed that reached an agreement with Brighton and Hove Albion to release Ashworth from his contract with the Seagulls. Obviously, he's been well advertised and well publicised over the last few months that they're looking to bring him in. Ashworth, of course, has been on garden leave since February, but will now join Newcastle as the Magpies' new sporting director. The 51-year-old has spent 3 years at Brighton, having previously held roles at West Brom and the FA, and becomes the first high-profile Newcastle United backroom appointment following the Saudi-led takeover of the club back in October. And a fair bit of stuff has happened since then. So another positive step, Bucky. Key appointment as well. Obviously, a lot going on off the pitch at Newcastle United. What's your thoughts and views on the appointment of Dan? And what do you think the reaction from the fans has been?
Yeah, it's definitely been met with a positive reaction. It's as I said, it's one of the first ones I've done since the team. Obviously, the January window happened, and they didn't have anyone in place. They just sort of had to muddle through it with Eddie Howe, taking the team in Saudi Arabia and doing transfers at the same time. But this is a big step forward. I think it's the first time in 10, 15 years that Newcastle have pretty much put themselves into the modern era of football. It's a massive appointment for the whole club. Everyone will concentrate on what he can bring to the first team, the transfers, but it's what he'll bring to the whole club, from the women's game, building for the future, from the academy. It's everything. I think it's a great appointment, and I haven't seen anyone react negatively to it on social media. And I've even seen, Brighton fans saying, good luck, it's a great appointment. West Brom fans, even where he worked before he joined the FA, they've all said it's a great appointment. So it seems like a well-received appointment. It seems like something that should have probably happened a long time ago. Obviously, it's a compensation. But I'm glad they've done it now. And it's definitely the right step forward for Newcastle.
Yeah, they'll have to obviously be patient, haven't they, in terms of the garden leave and contractual issues and things like that. But it was clear, he was the man they wanted. They've been patient and they've finally secured him. Eddie Howe has obviously spoken highly of him in the past as well. And it's key, particularly that he was brought in ahead of the summer transfer window. I know Eddie Howe had been speaking about, the work that the club had been doing in January. And obviously that was proved successful with some of the signings that they brought in, all making a big impact as the club went on a remarkable run post-Christmas. Oh, sorry, post-Howe's appointment. But yeah, the timing of it's important, isn't it, to get him in kind of now ahead of the window officially opening on, June the 10th, June the 11th?
Yeah, definitely. They can start building the future now. All of last season was dedicated about just trying to get Premier League survival by, any means necessary. But now is very much, this is where the new ownership and the whole new club can, start building for the Newcastle United they want to see in the future. And you're right, getting in before the summer window was really important because it can start implementing things now that will, that will come to fruition by September the 1st, whenever the window closes. So yeah, it's a massive appointment and something that means Eddie Howe and his team can now concentrate purely on on-field matters. They can sort out the team and they don't have to worry about the backroom things. That'll be hopefully done by Dan Ashworth and any other appointments they'll make between after this one, because that's the first big one. They've got that done. As you said, they identified Ashworth as the man, 3 or 4 months ago. They've had to be patient, but they've finally gone in and gone, and now they can build from this.
Does of course mean that he won't have much time to get his feet under his desk at St James's Park or the training ground wherever he'll be based. As obviously the window officially opens week after next, Newcastle. They've obviously been playing down expectations a little bit in terms of how much money they're going to be able to spend, obviously with the financial fair play regulations and all those kind of things. But equally, it's still going to be obviously a big summer for Newcastle, big transfer window. Contractual situations are fairly steady at the club, aren't they? I think as we, the retained list and things like that will be announced shortly. Longstaff signing his new deal last week. So the focus will be on naturally some players will leave, will be moved on, won't be part of the, whatever you want to call it, the project or the journey moving forward. But fans will also be excited to see what areas of the team are strengthened and who's going to be coming in as well. So it's a big role that he's got, hasn't it? And what areas in particular do you think Newcastle need to strengthen in terms of the squad this summer?
I think they definitely need a left back. Right now, they've only got Jamal Lewis as their only registered left back. Obviously, Matt Target going back to Aston Villa. So they definitely need someone in there. Striker, I think, you know, we talked about this, me and Dom last week, that Callum Wilson is fantastic striker, you know, one of the best in the Premier League, but you're going to get 20 games out of him a season probably. So you need someone as a backup there. Chris Wood did okay, but I think it's not a long-term solution. So they need someone who will be able to fill in for Callum Wilson if and when he gets injured, or even just to take some of the minutes off out of his legs, really. But so left back, striker, they'll probably add another winger. Moussa Diaby from Bayer Leverkusen's been talked about. I think he'll be, he looks like a good addition. I don't know much about him, but I've seen his stats and the stats don't lie. So if he can replicate that, I think it was 17 goals and, 13, 14 assists in the Bundesliga. So if he can replicate anywhere near that, that would be a fantastic addition. But I think now, if they can get them three first team players in, the rest is just about building the squad, about getting numbers in the squad. It's a bit silly to say it because they have got 32 registered first team players. So, and you can only register 25. So they're going to have to see some movement outwards. But I think they're going to have to get some quality additions in. Probably, I would guess, maybe five or six by the end of the window, with maybe a couple of loans and free agents to top up sort of the big name signings. But yeah, I just hope that they can get the business done early, because Newcastle, under Mike Ashley especially, were never ones to get the business done early. They were always at the end of the window trying to get a couple of players in. We've seen Aston Villa this week and last week. They've already signed or had deals to sign three key players. So I just hope that now Dan Ashworth's in and they can start building and getting the players in before they return to pre-season training, which I believe is on 1st of July. So hopefully they can get a couple of players in for when they all return, because that'll be key. They need to hit the ground running next season. And the way to do that is to get these signings in early.
Yeah, the summer off period, if you want to call it that, seems to get shorter and shorter every year. Obviously, a couple of weeks now since I've lost track of since the Premier League season ended. And as you say, the players will be back in just around a month or so. And then we'll sort of a couple of weeks of training and testing and things like that. Then obviously the pre-season friendlies roll around. And then before you know it, it's the start of the season again and straight back into the flow of the season. So yeah, not a huge amount of time to get everything in order. However, Newcastle have done so well under Eddie Howe that at least there would have been a lot of planning going into the summer, you'd think. In terms of outgoings, who do you think might be some of the possibilities for players that might leave the club this summer?
I think you're probably looking at the people who weren't registered in the 25-man. So you've got Kieran Clark, Jeff Hendrick. I think they'll probably find new clubs. Whether people will be able to take them or pay their wages, because obviously they've been Premier League players for the best part of 5 years now. So that might be, offloading them type of players might be the struggle. I think someone like Dwight Gill, he's always linked with moves to the Championship. And I'm surprised no championship club ever comes in for him, because for me, I think if you get Dwight Gayle in, you're almost guaranteeing, maybe not promotion, but you're guaranteeing playoff place. And that's, for 12, 13 teams in the Championship, that's their aim. So imagine he'll go, you're looking, and then in terms of people Newcastle can sell, maybe for a bit of money, maybe Jamala sells. I know with Nottingham Forest coming up, there's been talk about him maybe going back to Nottingham Forest. If Newcastle get another centre-back in, there's a likelihood that him and Federico Fernandez will probably leave. Other than that, I mean, the two goalkeepers as well, I think, is the other one, with Freddie Woodman and Carl Darlow. I think, they've got four keepers, or the registered four keepers at the beginning of last year. They're not going to need four keepers. So I think you'd probably see two of them, and maybe Miguel Almiron as well as the other one that you might get a bit of money for. But I think that's going to be their struggle this year, is actually getting money for these people. Because I think they can probably offload them, but whether they'll get any sort of transfer value for them, I'm not sure. And the good thing is obviously the owners, we all know about how much they're worth, how much money they've got. Maybe the transfer value doesn't matter, but as you mentioned at the beginning, financial fair play they can, you know, they do want to get as much money out of these sales as possible, because it is going to hurt, potentially hurt them 4 or 5 years down the line, where they want to make massive money signings and they can't, because, you know, they haven't been able to get rid of some of their assets for money. So I think what they do going outwards will be really important this month. I think they need to get rid of the players, and I'm sure Eddie Howe and his staff will know who they want to get rid of and who they want to keep. But I think they need to offload them quickly so they can get that squad shaped and ready to go for the beginning of the season.
Yeah, definitely. And as you say, you touched on Longstaff there. He signed his new contract last week. It'd be interesting to see how he develops at Newcastle, won't it? Obviously, your brother Matty Longstaff's been out on loan this season. Sean very much more part of the first team picture. How do you see his potential? Obviously, when the pair of them broke through, there was a lot of talk and chat around them. That then dipped off a little bit, but got a new contract now. Firmly part of the first team squad, first team picture under Howe. How do you assess his potential at Newcastle and where he could potentially take his career next?
It's a weird question, because I think if you'd asked me 6 months ago, I didn't think he had a future. But, you know, ever since Eddie Howe's come in, he's improved, and he's slowly returning back to that player, as you say, that burst onto the scene under Rafa Benitez. His last two games against Arsenal and Burnley in particular were fantastic in the middle of that midfield. He's going to struggle this year, because with the midfield options they've got, it's a very tough, you know, three to break into. Bruno Guimaraes struggled to break into it, and we all know the quality he's got, so it'll be tough for him. But I think getting him as part of the squad is a fantastic, fantastic move by the club. He knows the club. Boy, you know, it's his boyhood club. He's, for all intents and purposes, he's clearly someone good to have around the dressing room. He's, you know, going to be a good influence on the whole team. And these, you know, clubs that go into the future, you know, like Man City with all the money, and you need either the core of local lads or the core of people who are going to be there for the next 4 or 5 years on the journey, you know, to stay and help stabilise whilst a load of movement around them. So Sean Longstaff, Paul Dummett, people like that are going to be vital, especially next season going forward, and helping Eddie Howe and his team, you know, get the culture into the club and just keep a level playing field, keep it all stable whilst everything else is happening around them. But yeah, Sean Longstaff is a great. I'm glad that he's signed up. Matty Longstaff, it's an interesting one, because I haven't really seen what he did at Mansfield. I've seen moments where you think he scored a couple of goals and you think, right, he's going to kick on now. And then I saw a lot of complaints from Mansfield fans after the playoff final that he didn't do anything. Now, I know you can't really judge on one game, but he, you know, out with him and Elliot Anderson clearly had the better spell in league at the end of last year. So it'll be interesting to see where he goes next year, whether it's a championship out on loan, whether it's League One. I'm not sure where his future lies, but yeah, Sean Longstaff, definitely the right decision to get him in, and hopefully he can build on the last two performances.
Just while we're talking about former players and players out on loan and things, Jack Colback back in the Premier League as well, promoted with Nottingham Forest. Fair play to him for turning his career around, and a remarkable job that the Forest boss has done there. So we're interested to see them in the Premier League next season and how they do. Newcastle, more generally then, obviously won away at Burnley last day of the season. Strong finish to the season. What was a remarkable season, given where they were when Bruce left the club and Eddie Howe came in. But that's done now. Newcastle survived. Need to look forward and build on the future. How do you see the club developing over the next year, 2 to 3 years or so, in terms of the potential of it, but also the reality of, you know, chances are they're not going to just jump into the European or Champions League spots next season. It's going to be a bit of a building process, isn't it? Or do you think, you know, they could do a Leicester in there and have a lucky one-off season?
Maybe not a Leicester. I would like it, but maybe not. But, I don't know. It's a weird one because of football next year with the World Cup. I think there's going to be a lot of big teams with their players out on World Cup duty and, you know, this big long break. I feel that there's going to be a couple that might struggle to adapt to that, you know, that leaving the football in November, coming back. So maybe, there might be the season for someone like Newcastle, or, as I said, Aston Villa have made moves, someone like that to sort of break into that top six. Or for me, I think I'd like to see Newcastle go for the European places. I know everyone says, you know, mid-table in the cup run, but you can never guarantee it. You know, the cup games fall nicely. You can never guarantee anything with Newcastle in the cup. But I'd like to see them push. And I'd like to see them get to February, March, and not be worrying about relegation. That's what I'd want. The very first aim, just absolutely the bare minimum. to be able to get to February and not be worrying about going down. Going in the future, I've seen a lot of people on social media sort of tip that Eddie Howe, the other sort of outside bets for next season would be Eddie Howe wouldn't be in charge of Newcastle. Now, obviously, that's based on nothing other than the owner's expectations or what they perceive the owner's expectations are. But I'd like to see Eddie Howe given the chance to build the team, because what he's done in 6 months has been remarkable. And I think everyone's looking forward to see what he can do if he's given, you know, 2 or 3 years at the club. So I'd just like to see the club back Eddie Howe, and then Eddie Howe and his team to deliver on the pitch and just, you know, enjoy football again for the whole stadium, like we did at the end of last season. Just go to matches, not expecting to win necessarily, but expecting to enjoy themselves and to not be worrying about relegation or anything like that. Just to have a nice, sensible season, no drama. That'll be my hope for next year.
Well, we'll see how it all pans out. Thank you, Bookie, for your time this morning. Head to the Shields Gazette website for all the latest transfer news, analysis, transfer gossip, and plus much, much more over the coming weeks and before the next season rolls around and pre-season gets underway again. Thanks for your time, and we'll be back shortly with the next Mouth of the Tyne Newcastle United podcast.